Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 20. The New Man. For the new man to benefit from the new intelligence, enabling him to see things as they are, he must free himself from Cartesian thought in order to draw from the infinite reservoir of universal thought, from which he can easily and precisely understand the possible relationships that must exist between man, the spirit of man, and the spirit of intelligence. And the intelligence is the direct evolution in all systems. Man of the Earth, because of his antecedents, because of his powerful link with emotion, has never been able to share the secrets of higher intelligences, because these secrets were governed by laws that were to keep man in a certain ignorance, until the day when, being able to free himself from his emotionality, from the subjectivity of his thought, he could perfectly retain the quality of the vibration acting within a mental form devoid of emotionality and not be subjected to the psychological approval of human thought. This day has arrived, and the man of the future will be able to conceive with great ease and interpret with great agility the fundamental principles of the psychological organization of his humanity, as well as the fundamental principles that determine the development of higher extraterrestrial civilizations. One of the pillars of the secret doctrine of the future is based on a very broad conception of the psychological reality of man. And this conception, which has a limit only to the extent that man refuses, with his intelligence, to accept the possibility of such a vast organization, of such a vast power of creative organization, can only relieve those spirits most inclined to receive what can no longer be hidden. Thus, it is possible for us today on this planet to affirm that the very nature of intelligence is in equal proportion to the amount of light that exists in the cosmos. This implies that all the light of the cosmos, gathered and manifested differently on the planes of the latter, constitutes what we call the intelligence of the universe. This intelligence has only one purpose, that of preserving harmony between all the planes, between all the planets, and between all the kingdoms of these planets. Universal intelligence is powerfully focused on the principle of harmonization, which must be embodied in all that constitutes the created universe. Man as an evolutionary being must one day understand the law of intelligence in order to preserve on his planet the life forms that have been created and the life forms that must evolve towards a destiny known to a number of beings, but unknown to most. The unconsciousness of man, the creativity of man resulting from this unconsciousness, is therefore not part of the positive intelligence, but of the negative intelligence of the universe. The understanding of this is important, because it allows an evolved ego, a sensitive being, a being capable of perceiving the vibrations of the soul, to dissociate himself from the energy created by subjective human thought, and to associate vibrations with another energy, with an energy that is not conditioned by tradition, by history, by opinion, by influence, but conveyed from the highest spheres of evolution to man representing the lowest spheres of this evolution. But nevertheless very important to this evolution. As long as the human ego is satisfied with the illusions of its intelligence, it is impossible for it to perceive the veil that separates it from the universal intelligence. It is impossible for him to conceive the existence of this veil, and to penetrate by the same token into the perfect, balanced, and harmonizing radiation of universal intelligence. The man of tomorrow, the man who will serve as the foundation for the erection of a new human strain, will be the first to recognize that intelligence is not human in itself, but that man is a channel that must receive the universal energy of a principle that determines the direction of all creative activity in the universe. And it is from this point, in the evolution of humanity, that it will be possible for man to become, once and for all, independent of all forms of personal thought in order to be able to receive, direct, instruct, in a mode of creativity free of all subjective, imperfect forms, linked to the blind personality of the human senses. Man's senses are fundamentally impermeable to reality, and for this reason his intelligence is fundamentally limited by his senses. As long as the personality of man is not altered by the very nature whose things he sees, and as long as his ego is not elevated to a vibratory frequency higher than that dictated by the personality, it is impossible for him to work directly with intelligences that pursue on other planes larger, more total and highly perfect functions. However, in the near future, man will finally be able to join those intelligences that work on planes superior to himself, but still planes that are possibly visible to him. And once man has reached the power of this visibility, it is then impossible for him to look back. For all that lies before him, all the infinite creative possibilities of universal intelligence melt in his spirit, a seat of creative power that he has never recognized except in the very deep and silent adventures of his soul. But one day, the human soul must become a reality for man. His power must become, once and for all, achievable through his will. And its inexhaustible potential must also be recognized by the ego of man, whose manifestation in matter, or on the close subplanes of that matter, must exercise on him the final impression of infinity. Man has evolved over centuries, millennia, within a very vast sphere, sown from top to bottom of every possible and imaginable form of lie. An intended lie according to the plan of the destiny of the human race, but nevertheless lies, half-truths. And the man of tomorrow must finally recognize in himself the power of access to reality, a power that will give him the ability to see the wholeness and to understand it in a total way. Human thought is so trapped in an energy directly linked to the subjective emotion of man's experience that this thought has become incapable today of replacing even the faint glow of his intuition. This thought has lost the power to crystallize in itself the slightest nucleus of reality. Man's intuition has lost its power, has lost its ability to penetrate man's spirit, so that the latter is now at the mercy of his senses, and his intelligence at the mercy of its own limit. The man of tomorrow will be able and will have to converse with other beings evolving on other planes or on other planets with great ease. But before this work, this evolution, begins to bear fruit, the man who will be the pioneer of these communications, these long-distance conversations in an infinite cosmos, will be the first to suffer from the disruption caused by the encounter between a spirit that is not his own and a spirit that belongs to him. And from this encounter between these two spirits will come a new vibration. A new vibration that will generate in the ego of man a power to know, a power to recognize, and a power to penetrate the greatest secrets of the universal. As long as man has not realized that the slightest designs of his subjective spirit, that the slightest contemplations of his personal thought, reflect powerful forms of emotional energy, powerful forms of subjective energy, it will be impossible for him to understand that behind the veil of his thought stands the immense cathedral knowingness and knowledge. It is no longer a question of humanity, of tomorrow's man, looking behind him. It is no longer a question of humanity contemplating what it has already tried to understand. It is a question for the man of tomorrow to return, once and for all, to his native country, that is, to his true spirit, that is, once again to the spirit that is in him, and not to the spirit that has been imprinted in him. The task is not easy, and the burden is totally individual. No man can experience for another man the contact with the spheres. This contact is personal and must be carried out according to the vibratory, energetic capacity of each individual. But this contact implies a fundamental principle, that of realizing that man is above all superhuman. That man is above all, greater than what he has manifested up to now. That man is above all, a being powerfully connected to the forces of light, powerfully connected to the forces that direct evolution, provided that he knows the nature of his soul, and that he can with great ease penetrate the energy of this personal reality to himself. The earth can no longer wait, men must open a new path. Men must understand totally new things. Men must move towards a future that no longer belongs to the desire for emancipation of their ego, but which is part of the totality, which is part of reality, and which is already known on higher levels, according to the past, the present or the future. Men can no longer worry. He must be able to penetrate more and more into this energy, in order to realize the full potential of his being and see the total vision of his future. As difficult as tomorrow will be for humanity, So easy will tomorrow be for another part of this humanity. And the absolute condition for this difference in lifestyle will lie in the individual capacity of man to be in intelligent vibratory contact with the leading forces of evolution that are concerned both with his destiny and with his creation. The human being can no longer live a life subjected to the domination of form imposed by a blind, decadent society and a dying civilization. The human being can no longer be enslaved to conditions of thought that no longer serve man, the individual and society, but hinders both the individual and that society. The preservation of man, the preservation of the planet, the preservation of life is not conditioned by the will or power of man, but conditioned by the leading forces of evolution, by the forces of light. And these forces will become more and more powerful. And any constraint, any effort against these forces will prove useless because the matter, the body, is derived from the spirit. Understanding that intelligence does not come from man is not easy for man, because man has conceived the nature of intelligence, has conceived the nature of his intelligence. And the conception of his intelligence is not a terminal conception, but a transitory conception that derives from the nature of his ego, the very limitation of his spirit, and the inability to live at the level of the ego and personality in the total and perfect radiance of the soul. Although man has nothing to do with this condition, although man is not cosmically responsible for this condition, the condition was lived by him, developed by him, and his management, since the beginning of history, reflects in him. It is no longer a question of rationalizing the YS for involution, but of realizing the future of evolution, and the beginning on this planet, of an increasingly powerful penetration of vibratory energy that must destroy the forms of human thought, that is, the foundation of subjective thought, in order to finally liberate the spirit of man and eventually enable him to know what the word spirit means, the word invisible, the word infinite, the word light, the word God, the word soul. That is to say, everything that we on our planet have considered from the beginning as essential to all survival beyond the material. It is no longer through philosophical thought, whatever its quality or color, that man will be able to discover what is before him, but rather through the direct perception of the movement of the spirit on the different planes of evolution, through the movement of the spirit within the very foundations of creation. Man has before him a very vast map, an infinite path, and a power of which he has no idea. Just as life has been for him, in the past, a material experience, so tomorrow's life will be for him an experience beyond the senses, beyond matter, but directly related to the senses and matter. If the principalities did not want to reveal to man the absurd facets of his conceptions, it was to allow him to develop the necessary tools that would one day serve him to reconquer what had been retained. We know today that nothing will be required of man except the total openness of his spirit. But we also know that this requirement will be total because the contact between the spirit of man and the infinity of the invisible is a contact that requires a perfect balance between his mind and his emotions. And it is from this condition, filled in all its aspects, that the new man, the man of the sixth through trace, the man of tomorrow, will emerge. As much as time serves to condition man, so much so does the latter serve to decondition him when he has begun to realize the impotence of his illusions towards reality or the possible realization of the vibratory nature of his being. And when he has grasped this vibratory nature, when he has begun to understand the natures that vibration operates in him, he is on the path that inexorably leads him towards the total development of himself, that is, towards the visual, intelligent contact with the invisible. And it is from this contact with the invisible that he understands that the secret retained by the intelligences of the higher planes above his head, for millennia, was a secret whose reality or realization had to be retained, because one cannot give a child something whose power he does not understand. And as long as man was a child, as long as humanity was still at the primitive stage of its evolution, it was not a question of placing in its hands knowledge that would only be unbeneficial to him. A man who recognizes the illusion of human intelligence is already beginning to penetrate the secret of reality. A man who begins to realize the illusion of subjective thought is already beginning to understand the infinity of universal thought. Time then becomes the judge of its possible evolution and also the judge of its partial or total development. One day, man will be forced to recognize that the intelligences that in the past have summoned recognition from him, whether religious or mystical, were in fact beings like him, but subject to much higher and much more perfect conditions of evolution. Any emotion linked to the existence, the presence, the service of these beings, is a purely human emotion which can only generate in man a primitive way of seeing things. As long as man had to believe, man could not know. For every belief, whatever its purpose, whatever its value, generates in man a responsibility towards what he believes. And this responsibility is based on an emotional bond that binds him to the society whose bond shares. When in fact any man invited to participate with the infinity of the vast corridors of knowledge must rediscover in himself the great solitude and observe in himself that the reality, whose aspects he knows, can only serve to socially organize the connections between men. But as the human society had to be developed, had to harmonize more and more, beliefs became necessary. But now that man is entering a new cycle in which individuality, in which universality must prevail over all possible forms of social organization, It will become essential for man to see that in him a flame binds him to the universal, to the cosmic, and that this flame, through his creative product, can generate, on a material level, harmonious living and living conditions that can allow the reorganization of a society. According to totally new principles and totally separate from the psychological life of the individual, or from the social tradition in which the individual was born. In other words, we argue that the man of tomorrow, the individual, the one who will enter into vibratory contact with the forces of the invisible, will be able to recognize those who are on the same path of evolution, and will also be able to recognize those who are going in the opposite direction. And while maintaining a balance with men, he will know how to create a new balance on planes, which will not be visible to man whose intelligence is still blinded by reason, by form, by tradition. But this knowledge must be advanced today, because tomorrow it will be understood. It must be advanced today, because those for whom it is intended are ready to feel it, to perceive it, tomorrow they will be ready to understand it. It is no longer a question of man interpreting, it is a question of receiving and being able to receive without interpretation, so that the energy, the vibration of what he receives, penetrates where it belongs and hits in him the lever that must lift the door that has always hidden the external space. The door that has always veiled another reality, the door that has always prevented man from truly being man and from exercising in the cosmos the rights that are natural to him. That is, the rights that allow him to generate on his plane the necessary forces, allowing him to create new conditions for another evolution. The rights to communicate by telepathy not only with the men of the planet, but also with the men of other planets. Not only with living men, but also with the immortal intelligences of the higher planes. In other words, man must reclaim what he has lost, not because of his own fault, but because there were already intelligences in the cosmos that were monitoring the human drama and ensuring that evolution took place, as foreseen in the great conceptions of these great intelligences. Although man has been wounded, although man has suffered, although man has been restrained, the time is coming when the same man will no longer be fixed on the gallows of ignorance, but liberated by those same forces that have sought, in the past, to generate in him an emotional fidelity for forms essential to the growth of his civilization. It is difficult to tell man about things that are not concretely achievable by him today. But it is still necessary to generate in him enough strength to allow him to go beyond the limits of his conception of life, in order to help him gradually overcome obstacles of form and overcome the trap of his emotions, so that one day he can finally cross the wall of space and conquer the vast domains of the spirit. For it is from the spirit that it originates, and it is to the spirit that it must return. But this time, glorified in his body and powerful in his will over matter.